I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Episode 82 now. Here we are in the basement once again.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Monday. Always a Monday. Guys, it's Fashion Hags. Here we are. Hello.
Yes.
Hi.
Fabulous.
Did you like my song? We're going to record it. We're going to slap it together.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to...
$8.99 for it?
$8.99?
I don't know.
$12.99 at least.
You're at least a $12.99er.
My dad will buy it and we'll sell one.
Thanks, Chris.
There you go. We'll give Dave all the proceeds because he'll have to do all the work.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, Dad. How is everything going?
Oh, we good. Yeah, we're good.
We good?
Yeah, letting that sugar crash after Easter.
I didn't get any Easter candy.
Oh, my kids got a lot. You can definitely steal some of theirs.
Yeah, Chris was going to get me. He's like, do you want some of this chocolate? And I was like, I guarantee you Abby has chocolate candy. I don't need any.
Even today, Dave and I are like, oh, Dave's like, I'm slowly throwing away pieces of giant Kinder Egg. And I'm like, oh my God, me too. So when they're not looking, just slowly throwing away like the shitty chocolate. They're not going to. We'll keep the mini eggs. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Quality.
Yes, but like the gross milk chocolate Kinder Egg, like they got like a big Kinder Egg, like the size of like a grapefruit. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
It's not actually good.
I don't mind that chocolate. Controversial opinion, I know.
I don't mind it.
It feels like I have a coating on the inside of my mouth after.
Yeah. It feels a bit weird. You do need to drink or something afterwards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the small eggs is the perfect size.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The thickness is great.
Also, for our American listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's because you can't import this candy into the States because it has small parts and it's for children.
But apparently Canadian children
are fine.
Yeah,
also, lots of other tiny plastic toy options are fine.
Don't even get me started.
Guns. There's like this great ad of like, not allowed in America. And it's like one kid holding a Kinder Egg with a big X through it, but another kid holding like an AR-15. And it's like, this one's fine.
Yep, go for it.
Anyway, we're
if
political
you buy
right
a gun
off
show,
that.
There's no ID check.
Buy this Kinder Egg at a gun show and there's no ID check.
Shit. Anyway, so yes, after Easter, I probably did enough Easter shit for all of us combined this weekend. You're welcome.
I went to a brunch and ate all the food and got kind of drunk and then went home and went to bed at 9:15. So
that's
does
all right.
That count?
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that totally counts.
Yeah. It was 4:20, so I was like, I'm going to get the hell out of my neighborhood.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If I cannot be here right now, that would be great.
Crazy.
Good call.
Yeah. Happy 4:20, everyone. Mm-hmm. I was joking that no offense to any of our listeners of any kinds, but when you're looking at the community of people who consume marijuana, the people who are going to this... I'm going to say protest within air quotes because this is not a protest. This is now a festival.
Yes.
It's a celebration.
The people who
own it
are going to that event. They're not sending their best.
No.
That community is not sending their best.
No.
There's a lot of...
It's a lot of riffraff, as my dad would say.
Riffraff. There's a lot of cargo shorts. There's a lot of...
I haven't washed my clothes in a while.
Yeah, a lot of... pot leaves screen printed on a thing. A lot of great people, for the record. A lot of activism and good things happening. A lot of skids.
Yeah.
And a lot of dirtbags.
Yeah, dirtbags.
And you know what? Fine. I'm going
to
go.
Like, you don't have to be there for it.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. See you on the flip side. 420.
Yeah, that cloud of smoke that comes up at 420 is also riddled with just a lot of toxic masculinity. And
yeah.
Bad breath.
A lot of that.
A lot of dandruff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, are we being elitist?
People, a lot of white people dress.
We're fashion girls though, you know, it's like if you're going to do like a cute moment, then
be cute.
You know,
be cute.
Like.
Don't be a DB, right? Yeah. Be a dirtbag.
I mean, yeah.
Also, it's just like, I've gone to that. It was a protest when like, I went to it.
I have 100% taken part in such things,
mm-hmm. such events. Like,
There's a certain look that a person may carry. Let's say a white gentleman of certain size,
a certain age,
and a certain age.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Gentleman. Okay. Go on.
Can that
you're a kind
that
person.
Is a that ignites a certain fight or flight instinct in me.
Understandable.
Oh, I got it.
You know what I mean?
It applies to women too.
I hear you, sister.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and like that look can be categorized with you know, like a reflector shade, like an orange, you know, like an Oakley's reflector shade, you know?
Yeah.
We had this very intense discussion. Katie wanted white sunglasses and she's like, is it going to be, I don't know, like douchey or is it going to be like a douchebag kind of look? And it's like, no, darling, it's going to be very Katharine Hepburn circa 1945.
Yes.
Yeah. You're fine. Like, yeah. On someone else, I can see it being like kind of douchey, but I think I own the rest of the look.
100%.
And where they come from, and the shape is completely different, and the connotations right? around it are 100%. Very different.
And but, the reasons for buying Varney in particular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I, you know what? Maybe I am an elitist. I'm certainly a snob. So.
And that's fine.
I have
we each have our own path
$300
to
sunglasses to prove it.
There, this weekend, I looked down on flip flops.
So that's me. That's my judgment. I don't like flip flops.
And mixing black and blue together.
Yes, there's no navy. Black and navy.
Navy and black.
Never happening.
I'm fine with that as long as you throw on a pair of white Varneys.
There you go. You're fine. I might even get on board. If you can make that look happen, which I know you can.
I've certainly done it before. Yes. Might have done it this week.
Hey, man. What are you going to do? Sunny day. I don't have much to talk about, but we did talk upstairs briefly about our Lord and Savior Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to train my kids to say Beyonce.
And how'd that go?
It was great. There's something, I don't know, maybe I'm trying too hard with my four-year-old. All of my attempts to get her to like Hello Kitty, She-Ra, Star Wars, like all these things that I liked, that I found cool as a kid, she is not interested. She's also four, so I'm also, you know, ahead of the game a bit. But I was trying to be like, I was watching it, and Margot comes in, she's like, what is this? I'm like, this is like, she is the best.
Yeah.
Ever.
Excellence is personified.
There's a reason they call her the Queen Bee.
Yeah. If you ever see anyone doing something like this, it's because of her and it will be not as good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Forever.
It will never be the same.
Ever. This is like the culmination of all of human existence and musical creativity
the thing in a human being. Yeah. The thing that astounds me after watching this about Beyonce is about how much change and how much turmoil and how much struggle and dedication to her craft had to go down from history throughout the continuum for that performance to exist.
Yeah.
For someone to give a woman of color that platform, that budget, that
support infrastructure,
and also for someone to be able to meet the moment.
Yeah, and to step up when...
And to have the wherewithal to do something like that. It was quite simply one of the most excellent stage performances of all time.
Yeah, I would
100%. And I'm not a real Beyonce fan.
I was never this much of a stan, ever.
No, me neither. I like maybe 20% of her songs I actually like. I'm like, they're fine. She does a really good job. I just don't like them. It's not something I would choose to listen to. Like, the last good song she wrote was like Countdown, and that's like 10 years old, in my opinion.
All the songs, all her singles that come out,
I really enjoy. I really enjoyed Lemonade. I have never purchased one of her albums.
No.
That's where I
am. But I watched the shit out of that.
The first album I ever
concert.
Bought myself was Writings on the Wall, Destiny's Child. Thank you very much.
That also, I will second that. We also, between my sister and I, there was a copy of Destiny's Child. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep. 100%. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the power.
And also how smart of her to turn this stage show into a doc that she could then educate all of these other people who weren't at Coachella and make it available. Also make a fuckload of money from them.
Also the people who needed the extra bash on the head to get it.
Because
when it happened a year ago, a lot of people got it.
Yeah, and a lot of people didn't. It went over their heads.
So I feel like something like that is really just like, if you didn't get it then, smack across the head, you're going to listen now.
Now's your chance.
You know?
Yeah.
And also to people who maybe, I'm thinking of my parents specifically right now, who maybe don't know what I'm talking about. If you have never seen a Beyonce show or, you know, even care or whatever, mm-hmm. just go and watch this doc. If you just like music and you like...
You don't even need to really watch the whole 2 hours. Watch 20 minutes of it or half an hour of it just to get an idea of the scale and the level of what is happening in front of you, because it's unreal.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't... I've read a couple articles about it, but I couldn't believe... I won't spoil it too much, but the two colors, because there was 2 days that
it was
performed
two nights,
it on. It was like the Saturday and then the following Saturday, whatever the hell it was. Or the Friday and the Saturday, whatever. And the choreography was so tight that in the split, like on a single beat, the colors switch. And I was like, oh, that's a cool lighting trick. Like, that's a pretty amazing
or
thing
her
to do.
Pink now or whatever.
On an outdoor stage where her shirt was yellow and now it's pink. And so it was the 200 people on stage with her. Like, that's a pretty slick lighting trick to do outside, you know. That's pretty amazing. And then I was like, wait a minute, like her hair is different. Like,
it was a week later,
what the fuck. But the choreography is so tight that on that drum beat you cannot see
within
the
edit. You can't see it.
It is so good. Just go and watch it if you like.
And at that
music,
that moment is in the
like
first like 10 minutes of the
Once you realize it's two shows at the same time and like you're like,
and
oh shit, how long has this been happening? How long have I have I missed this? How long have I not been paying attention? And then you pay attention to it later and you realize how seamless it is.
At the very least, it's excellent entertainment.
Oh, 100%.
It's unquestionably good entertainment.
Fun to watch.
And I mean, at its very base. At its most basic.
And she has one of the most iconic singing voices of all time.
Her voice is unbelievable. Yeah. You're
and
like,
is she on a track?
No, she's not.
The whole time. Yeah. And she is perfect.
And I love how she holds the mic. Yeah. She doesn't have a, like,
she's got that
lav mic, whatever. She holds it. I love
holds
that.
The microphone,
I don't know. It's just so fucking good. I was realizing, like, as I was watching it, as a privileged white lady who, you know,
is far removed
from the culture that she's aiming to celebrate, that like, oh, this is not for me. This was not a show that had me in mind. But
still,
fuck, is it ever good?
Still, you can find something in it.
And also, thanks for like letting me come and join your party.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so good.
There's like one white girl in Beyonce's dance group, and I really want to know about Beyonce's white girl.
Yeah, what made her
really
the white girl to make it?
Yeah,
because like, she said she handpicked every single dancer.
Like, it's like, why did you get to do this performance and nobody else? What made it's like, do you know the honor?
What makes you so special?
The absolute honor, what it must have been like to be there on that stage in that moment.
And all the dancers are different size too. Like, there's definitely some bigger girls who are fucking shaking
and
it.
All
and
female band, pretty much. I think
all feel the drum line, like, it just is so good. You guys just go and watch it if you haven't. Wow. We're probably preaching to the choir.
And then there's all these little interludes and just like
Maya Angelou and Nina Simone.
All these things have been feeding into her whole life, right? That she takes extremely seriously. Her husband, her kids, all that stuff all fits into. Mm-hmm. And, you know. Say what you want to say
and
about
Destiny's
her
Child.
And like her content and her culture and stuff. But holy fuck, undeniable.
When I was watching it, I was like, and she didn't win the Grammy? Fucking Adele. I mean, Adele's album was great.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Are you kidding me? I'm gonna let you finish, but that was one of the best albums of all time. Adele, good for you. Great job.
Really,
But you robbed Beyonce. I mean, the Grammys robbed Beyonce of that.
Yes.
That Adele was not Adele's fault.
Not her say.
But cripes, that was a miss.
Damn
that
it.
Was a hard
you
miss.
Really, fuck that one up.
Beyonce
really
will get hers eventually.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true.
That is
well,
true.
She's Beyonce. You know, it's just like, you can't, like, I don't know. When you reach that level of acclaim where you say that your first name is a household name. And you think of all of these things, you think of power and excellence and beauty and talent.
Luxury and elegance.
Oh, and just walking out like an Egyptian African queen. Like, not Egyptian.
This bitch walks down
Egyptian.
A staircase and it's a work of art. Honestly.
Yeah. Do we have anything else going on? I don't think we're going to be able to talk about
that. Stop.
Ma. Balls. Mom, you're going to love it.
I forgot about that part. It's so good.
So great.
And all costumes from Balmain.
Yes, with her boy, Olivier.
Yeah.
They were all amazing. Like, I want that sequined, like, sweatshirt. With the, like, I can only imagine it'd be
and
like
the sequined
ribbed bucks.
Knit. Cuff.
Yes. And the little like military shit. Uh-huh. Oh man, that was a good time. that white outfit she wears, like in the
with the hip,
the little
sash,
dangly bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, good times. Check it out. We got 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I guess we liked that.
Yeah. So I guess we all watched that this week, as we all did. Mm-hmm. I was so mad at my kids for like, not letting me watch it. Like, you're getting my phone, you're getting the iPad, and you're both fucking off. And even then, I had watched it an hour, and then the next, like that night, I had to watch. After they went to bed, I watched the second hour. But I made it happen.
Mm-hmm. It's, you could watch it twice. Yeah. No problemo.
It's right there. Ready to go. Problemo.
So what are we talking about today, guys? What's our deal?
Your deal. Our deal is, first of all, that Evan brought us drinks, which is very exciting. Mm-hmm. I got a mango raspberry premium Swedish cider.
Are they really sweet?
They are very sweet.
Very sweet.
This is very like a mango-y, but not like shitty fake mango.
Mm.
Which is like a nice mango.
It's ricordelic.
I'm driving, so I'm not participating.
I think so. Yeah. Sheila will let us know.
Swedish cider. I have a strawberry lime moment.
Mmm.
I have a glass of ice water because I'm driving.
Too cool. So. And they are tall boys, so.
They are very tall. And they're ciders, so they're mean business.
They're real easy to drink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they go down real quick. Anyway, we are talking about the upcoming Met Gala.
Tis the season.
Tis the season, first Monday in May. Here's a plug for the documentary, first Monday in May. I think it's still on Netflix. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I haven't looked
at it. It's great. It's a good time. It's... You know, it is what it is. It's a bunch of super rich people flaunting their wealth for each other and thumbing their nose to the rest of the world in kind of a shitty way. But also, it's the most fabulous night of the entire year. It's better than the Oscars and Cannes and like everything else combined.
Yeah,
it's
because
the best.
I think like the thing with the Met is that still at the end of the day, the Oscars and whatever, it's like a trade event, you know? An award show
sure.
is like something it's like people think things are done for utility and not for
celebration
aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, and the Met Gala is all about the aesthetics.
Yes.
So yeah, I just like, maybe it's just more engaging to watch or it's like and
just
like
for us.
And the fant and we don't get to see it on TV. It's like
yes, you consume
like
it differently.
There's a mystery to it, so you kind of just need to like look at people's Instagrams and like what is
and
going
piece
on.
Together, and
piece together,
right?
The whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's an element of the unknown, unlike all this stuff that's broadcast on TV.
Yeah, I mean, especially things like movies. Like, they're all things we've already seen and heard and talked about and read about stuff. Everybody knows what we're going in, whereas the Met Gala is a surprise. You don't know what people are going to wear. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what's going to happen.
You don't know what the exhibition is going
to
look like.
You don't know what the exhibition... Well, that's the thing, just to give everybody information. It's at the Metropolitan Museum in Montreal. No. Jesus Christ. In New York City.
Drink up.
And they have a quarter of the cider. But it's the... It's the opening night of the year of the exhibition that changes every year. And the theme and the exhibition theme
is for the Costume
subject,
Institute at the Met.
Yes. The subject of the exhibition is the theme of the event. So they had one that was punk and they had one that was religion or Christianity. And I'm trying to remember the ones in the past few years.
China was the one.
Yeah.
That's featured
the Looking Glass was one where Rihanna wore that big giant. Yellow,
guapé number,
beautiful, feathered and furred,
cape.
And glittered
and embroidered. But this year, actually looking at it because I heard about it and I was like, okay, yeah, whatever, because they announce it months and months and months in advance. It's called camp, and they don't mean like
camping,
tents and firewood. They mean like. Funny campiness.
What they mean like, specifically
yes.
is based on Susan Sontag's 1964 essay on camp, pardon me, notes on camp. Camp is in quotations. Published in 1964. So I actually was like, camp, like, what does that even mean? Like when you hear about like a campy movie, you think
I always
like
think John Waters movie. Or something. That's who that's who I went to.
What's the crybaby or like a classic B movie, Hairspray, or like Big Trouble
David
in Little
Lynch
China.
Has a bunch of campy shit, and like I've been on a big Twin Peaks binge recently too. Yeah. So there's a lot of camp happening there.
So what
is that though?
What is that? And what's interesting about every example we've just given is after this essay was actually written. Yes. So I read this essay in its entirety. I highly recommend.
It's just a bunch of bullet points, isn't it? Or it's basically a list. Yeah. Because I skimmed it and like read a review of it and didn't actually read it. But
I started to read it. And I was like, do I have time? And I was like, I should read this in its entirety. I read no other articles about the gala.
Well, there you go. Well, we can spread
we'll fill in the gaps. Yeah.
But so Susan Sontag, for the uninitiated, she is no longer with us, a pretty prolific author and writer and activist and filmmaker
and humorist, and
she was a figure, certainly.
She didn't die that long ago.
Just a few years ago.
5 years, maybe.
She was a
2004. Okay, so
longtime partner of Fran Lebowitz, who is still alive, I think.
God, I love Fran Lebowitz.
This essay is so academic, and yet it reminds me so much of being back in university in such a like delightful way, because it is just littered with examples, because trying to define camp is a lot of what it isn't.
Yeah.
And this thing.
And the examples can be so wide and varied that it's hard to pin down what it is.
So I think everyone under the age of 30, maybe even 25, should go. I mean, everyone should read this essay if they're going to go and participate and look at all the camp looks for the Met Gala itself, just to sort of have a frame of reference of what it actually is.
Yeah.
Because it is so wild. It is so full of references that like you would have to be a Susan Sontag level of reader and art critic and film critic,
commentator,
all of it to understand every reference. And it's impossible.
Sure,
there are so many. And because it was published in 64, they're all of the 70s, all of the 80s, which you could basically classify the entire decade of 80s as camp.
Pretty camp.
It's pretty camp heavy.
Yeah.
Lots of the early 90s and like anything pre-grunge is can sort of throw
grunge
into
camp. Grunge
was
kind of a reaction to camp in a lot of ways because it was so serious and austere and
So there's lots of ways you can categorize it, but her whole thing is about its style without content.
Yes.
it's the embracing of the absurdity, but also the trying to succeed at
failed
something.
Seriousness.
And failing
what I
at
came
it.
Up with failed seriousness.
And that's the embracing
that
of that.
That, yeah. What's his name? Andrew Bolton came up with, I think.
Which is why, like, B movies are classically, like, I think a really good modern example would be The Room.
Yes.
Like, I think 100%. The Room is.
It was made in earnest.
Exactly.
But failed spectacularly.
Failed spectacularly. And
then
so much so.
Revered now.
Yes. And now it's been homage. It's been propped up.
We just watched The Disaster Artist a couple weeks ago finally. And it was so good. It's so weird. And James Franco's amazing. And it feels really weird to say that about James Franco. It's not an adjective I would give him on any other context.
This essay is amazing.
The love of unnatural artifice and exaggeration.
Yeah. So artifice is a big deal. And it reminds me a lot of Diana Vreeland and
camp
she was
queen.
Major camp queen. Totally. Vulgarity is like pretty into it. And the whole like culmination of this, like the last part of the essay is about how basically it's the gays invented it. Gays celebrated it the best.
They do it without trying.
Drag.
Yeah.
They invented a whole culture around it. It's called drag. Mm-hmm. That'll be a fun thing to see on the
Oh,
that.
So like, not all homosexuals have camp taste, but homosexuals, by and large, constitute vanguard and the most articulate audience of camp.
Yes.
So it's a gorgeous quote I had that I took from
this essay.
From that article.
Yeah. It is...
I'm very excited about this.
It's also about being naive.
Yes.
Naivete is a big part of camp because it's that
or even
that
a willful
attempt.
Naivete.
Yes. There's,
whether
they
it's
talk
on
about
purpose
that as well.
Or not. Yeah.
There's an attempt to be serious without knowing what you're really getting into, which is why I think The Room is such a great example of a really
absolutely.
Like a good modern sort of one that people would be familiar with.
Yeah.
Because it is really trying hard to be this great thing. and failing so miserably
so
at it.
So badly, yes.
But if you have not read this, and we'll link it on the website, even just give it a glance at, just have an idea of the academic mind behind this thing, and how brilliant this woman is who actually came up with this whole thing. And also to look at it through a lens, through a modern, right now, zeitgeist lens of climate change and the world falling apart and the Trumpism. And
he's camp. He's so into camp. He doesn't even, with the fake tan and the hair and the...
and everything.
Well, it makes it so easy to make like a camp caricature of him because he's just already so ridiculous.
And
oblivious.
And oblivious to his ridiculousness.
Yeah. Naive.
Like, and takes himself incredibly seriously. Yep.
But fails spectacularly.
Yeah.
But also, there's a whole faction of people who are right there on his side.
Oh, so for
that
sure.
Absolutely contributes to that.
This is like the Emperor and the New Clothes kind of situation. Fantastic.
It is such, yes, Emperor New Clothes is a great example.
Yeah.
It's such a brilliant theme. I forget who it was that came up with it. It must be the director of
yeah, Andrew Bolton, that guy.
Andrew Bolton, thank you.
He's figured prominently in the documentary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he totally nailed it. This is such a brilliant theme for right now, for this year, 2019.
For fashion, for 2019.
There's
the Costume Institute.
Yeah, there's no, it's not an election year.
Yeah.
So that seriousness and that sort of real political bullshit that we're really going to start feeding soon.
Yeah.
We're still a few months away from that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's pending. There's a lot of stuff that's like not quite happening. Like 2019 has been a fucking bogus year already.
Yeah.
And 2018 wasn't much better.
Yeah.
But it's such, when you read this and sort of have an idea of what she's getting at, it's such a brilliant theme. I'm so excited to see, first of all, what everybody wears to the show, who's going.
Of course.
And also what has been chosen to feature in the gala.
I'm very excited because there's a lot of navel gazing at these events, and there's a lot of nepotism and all these, you know, horrible things where it's just a bunch of rich people patting each other on the back. Also, and besides the fact that, I don't know, 80% of people don't even fucking do the theme.
Yeah.
Which last year I find, like, give your ticket to someone else.
Which is why
if you're not going to do it,
theme,
then fuck off.
That's why this theme is so
do it.
Brilliant.
Because even if you don't,
you can
still do it.
You're still participating, but you're now a non-active, like you're not participating in a way that you're in on the joke.
But it's voluntary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're not looking at it like, we're here because of this.
In a tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
Yeah, not in any kind of way like that. It's irony, which is a whole thing of camp as well.
Yes.
According to Sontag. Yes. So
I'm very excited.
I'm really curious to see pulling it off and who's not.
People who are obsessed with looking perfect, rich, and white, all of those things. How are they going to, and that's, I don't know, 75% of people imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they going to fit into this? I'm very excited. I mean, there's people that are going to like, please, what's Rihanna going to wear? That's what I'm asking. And I know the two of you are probably also asking.
Mm-hmm.
What are these people going to be wearing? But what is Kim Kardashian going to wear? What is some random model who has like no personality? What
more
is
so many people are an unwitting definition of camp. Before even walking through the doors.
Yes, I'm very excited. For the people who are doing it on purpose and the people who are not doing it on purpose. I'm very excited for this.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a perfect modern example of camp.
That punk year really burned my biscuit.
I know. Yeah. That one was
no
year.
One did it. And like, this is a huge opportunity to be awesome and weird and fucked up and different and referential to weird shit. And like, two people did it.
Or everyone like, just did like a leather dress and a smoky eye.
Yeah. Look, there's studs. I got studs on my shoulder straps. I'm punk.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Like, no, we're, come on.
Yeah. Anyway. I bet we'll see Greta Garbo. Greta Garbo was a big element of camp, according to
Marlene Dietrich.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw
lots of pop art.
In one of the articles I read, was like, Chanel herself was camp, but her designs were not.
Ooh. Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
That
because she was very over the top and she was very, you know,
maybe
that
Anna
whole style
up.
Like early Chanel is
yes like
is
the, definitely like the roaring camp. 20s kind of
Art Nouveau in general according to Sontag is camp.
I want Anna to show up in a classic Coco Chanel look but covered in feathers and gems.
She'll like wear the same suit. Boring t-shirt dress she always wears.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
With a different kind of embroidery or maybe like a shoulder moment.
Or maybe
Anna
like...
likes a shoulder moment when she's being extravagant.
Maybe like it's a true. Bit of color
it'll
blocking.
Still be, yeah. It'll still be a perfect Prada shift dress, which is all she wears.
Yeah.
The various chunky necklace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that one pair of shoes she has.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to figure out people nowadays... Because there's all these examples of Marlena Dietrich and Cher and Elton John and Diana Vreeland and trying to figure out people who...
Diana were, Ross.
Yeah. People mm-hmm. who are doing it now. And I came up with Moschino.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Definitely.
Comme des Garçons. She don't give a fuck. And she will turn anything on its head and make a joke out of it. Except you don't know. She's laughing at you.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. But I guess she's... I feel like she's a little inside. She's too in... The joke.
Maybe.
Scaparelli
was someone yep. on my... Tom Brown was on my... I was trying to figure out menswear stuff. Tom Brown is...
Maybe that's why he picked the theme so his husband could get some features in the Met.
Because he's... Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Andy Bolton and Tom Brown are partners. Victor and Rolf.
Oh, heavily.
Gucci. The guy Alessandro... Michelle, is that his name? I forget his name now.
Lots of Versace's camp.
Yes. I just thought of the show that happened like a few seasons ago where the models carried their own heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And these like crazy head to toe looks, the Gucci yeah. show where they had like fake versions of the models' heads, like exact replicas.
Yeah.
And they were just walking down like carrying them like a bag.
Yeah. I do remember that.
Prada,
there's a lot of camp in yes. Prada. For sure.
And thing, fucking yeah. Demna Gvasalia. I can never fucking say his name. That guy, he might be too inside baseball for this too. He might be camp, but trying too hard, which is weird to say because Jeremy Scott isn't trying too hard, in my opinion. Jeremy Scott's right. trying just the amount and a right amount to be camp, but then right. I see the shit that like Virgil Abloh and stuff was doing, and where it's like Virgil Abloh did a dress where it was just a black sheath dress, and it just says in quotes "little black dress" in big white letters on the side.
Yeah,
yeah. Lots of Marc Jacobs. There's some
yeah.
Marc Jacobs moments that are yeah. camp for
Galliano.
Sure.
Galliano, Christ, yeah. Galliano did.
Just
but Galliano
Dior
might be
archives.
Too...
Oh my God, Dior Couture, when Galliano was there, was the epitome of camp.
Were they like the models that, are crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Runway, I mean, McQueen. Yeah. His was layered with like depression and like a bunch of other like dark shit. McQueen was.
He was yeah. like maybe a depressed like version gothic. Of camp. Yeah. I don't know if I would categorize. Well,
he had a lot of jokes. Except they were yeah, just overlooked because his references were so deep.
So deep. So he was like 10% camp probably.
Yes. Yeah. And if he definitely had it on his side. You could have missed it entirely. And not even known it was there unless yeah. you were looking for it.
Yeah. The first yeah. look that they shared on their Instagram, the Met Costume Institute, is the iconic Bjork
swan dress.
Oh, the swan
dress!
Perfection.
That is going to be included in the exhibition.
So that
yeah,
I'm also
dress,
excited to see what's going to be in the show.
Yeah, that's
in,
what I mean.
In the exhibition, yeah. Yeah.
The first thing that came to my mind was when we were in design school, do you remember the House of Holland, Henry Holland slogan t-shirts? One of them was like "Wham Bam Thank You Stam," and it was about Jessica Stam, like who was like a big model of the time.
Okay, yes.
Like I just remember him doing like, I don't know, there was like 50 versions of that one like mini dress length t-shirt, super boxy, and it had like some kind of witty ism about people in fashion, certain models, designers, whatever.
What's Henry Holland been doing?
I don't think he's been doing much.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Side note.
But those, like, I think like those t-shirts are like, that's the first thing that came into mind for me.
There's so many ways you could take it.
Yes.
This seam is so like... It's so wide, and yet you can absolutely do it wrong.
Yeah.
You can. And people certainly will.
Oh, they will fail.
It's the last line in the essay, or the last like note of her essay is the ultimate camp statement is it's good because it's awful. Of course, one can't always say that, and only under certain conditions, those of which I've tried to sketch out in these notes. But that's like her ending thing. It's good because it's awful.
It's one of those things like they say porn. Like, you know it when you see it. That
yeah,
argument.
Kind of. Yeah.
Right? Where like you can, it's kind of this amorphous, ever-changing concept. But when it's there in front of you, you're like, well, that's it.
I want, like, and I also wonder who will be on the list. Because if you look at it from this like Susan Sontag essay, high academia, high art,
intellectualism,
quote, art,
intellectual elitism.
Yeah. Lots of, you know, everybody knows each other and, you know, here's 60 people you've never heard of who've framed the history of art for the last 200 years. They're all in this essay and you don't know who any of them are because you're not Susan Sontag or Fran Lebowitz or any of the people in the circles that they run in. So from that side, it's like, who is going to be invited to this? Like, what?
You got to have the people like the models and the Kardashians and whatever. But
what kooky intellectual is going to be there? Like, what?
Will Amy Sedaris be invited?
Yeah. What editor at large?
Amy Sedaris is invited. Oh, my God. She'd be the best.
Like, what's her name? Russo, who's the editor. She was the editor for Vogue.
With the three names?
The
kooky Italian lady?
Anna Della Russo.
Anna Della Russo. I feel like
she's super camp.
But I feel like she's too inside as well.
But she's also a little too, maybe.
She's a little too, she can, does it for attention more than for, I guess she's aesthetic as well. But I feel like she's trying to put content in where there's.
She's running in different circles than.
That's true.
Yeah.
Than like the people Beth who Ditto. Normally,
ooh, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. I guess Anna Della Russo is camp. But I feel like she's also like.
Too fancy?
Maybe a bit fancy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
you just need to watch that H&M, when she had her H&M collaboration.
Yes, those commercials and stuff. They're out there, man.
You need a fashion shower. Yeah. Can we talk? Like,
I do not
honestly,
know what you're talking
the
about.
Fucking.
What is this?
Mediocrity that this industry allows just because
Carl
someone
was
will sell
camp.
Shit.
Carl's clothes weren't.
Carl was.
Yes. Yeah, maybe that's why he was so good at Chanel.
Maybe. And he leaned into it.
Yeah, that's true.
That son of a bitch.
Damn you. We're going to be talking about you for a while, Carl. Fuck. God damn it.
Genius.
Oh,
the
man.
Ripples of his impact will be felt for years to
for
come.
Many, many years. Yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, I'm very interested to see what the guest list is going to be.
Well, Lady Gaga and Harry Styles are co-chairing it.
What the fuck?
What?
Apparently he's a Gucci, like...
Maybe Gucci did a nice...
Gucci loves them.
Yeah.
What
maybe the
deal
Gucci,
is he running
well, the
with
thing is
Anna Wintour?
Gucci owns an art gallery or like a series of art galleries or something. So maybe the Gucci group is trying to like get in with the Met. So they're sending their like poster boy over there to...
Maybe.
Shake some hands.
And then like Serena Williams, also co-chair. I'm like, oh. I mean, you're super amazing, awesome, cool lady, but I wouldn't...
Camp?
For this one.
Yeah.
She did wear a tutu to the US
Tracy
Open.
Ellis Ross would have been lovely for this.
Yes.
To co-chair.
My gosh, she would have been great. Fuck, I love that woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting choice. Yeah. And then dude from Gucci. I don't know
Harry
much about
Styles.
Him.
Is he a One Direction or is
uh-huh.
he? Wow.
He's a One Direction person.
That is a strange choice.
Yeah.
A lot of people love him.
Did he just marry the lady and that was a big deal?
No, that was a Jonas brother.
Jonas, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're the same in my mind.
Yeah.
They're both, I only know that because
they're
I am
the same
obsessed.
Phenotype of a celebrity.
Yes, I'm obsessed with Priyanka Chopra. She is like,
that's her name.
I will have a hall pass for that woman.
Yeah.
Whether Dave gives it to me or not.
So there's like 20, someone told me she was 22 years old or was something ridiculous.
She's under 30.
I thought she was like, I don't
think.
Know.
I thought she was like 28.
Fuck, she's so gorgeous and talented and wonderful. And I love her so
find
much.
That out.
I watched
know
that
things.
Stupid Quantico show and it was a piece of shit. And I watched the whole first season because she's so awesome.
I don't know celebrities. I don't know things. So I'm not the person to ask.
Well, now I need to know how old she is.
So
I know she's significantly, she's older than a Jonas.
How many Jonas Brothers are in One Direction?
Zero.
None.
Last I checked, zero.
My math is definitely wrong.
Oh, she's 36. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I thought she was older.
Oh, all right.
Who knows?
She's 10 years older than Nick Jonas.
See, that's what I thought that was the case. Someone told me today at brunch that bitch was 22 years old.
No. Jonas is 26.
You guys,
I'm
is so
older
important.
Than, I'm older than
oh,
Nick
and this
Jonas.
Is, and she's 36 or 37, depending on the date of the publication.
So why is she not the co-chair? And
seriously,
he is.
She's great.
Come on.
Anyway.
She'll be there.
She'd be great.
She wore that really awfully tailored Ralph Lauren gigantic trench coat to the last.
The religious one?
No, she wore it to, what the fuck? She wore a trench coat for something. And it was like an off-the-shoulder trench coat. And that train was collapsing on itself, left, right, and center.
Yep. I remember that.
The Ralph Lauren atelier does not know
Didn't
how to
look.
He lost me at off-the-shoulder trench coat.
It was like a beige off-the-shoulder trench coat moment. And the train was collapsing on itself. They could have cut that train down a good, I don't know, meter and a half. And it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Also, as dramatic as this look is, Google, I just Googled Priyanka Trench and it came right up. Mm. That's what you write in the Met Gala? That's what gets my go-to. This is also just a straight up beef for the Met Gala.
Let's hear it.
This is according to us, your non-industry experts, industry non-experts.
Yeah.
This is the biggest night.
In fashion.
In the world.
Yeah.
And that's what you wore?
Yeah.
Fucking trench coat?
Yeah.
It's just a beige bag. It's 8 meters of beige fabric.
Boring.
Oh. Fuck.
Boredom is a big part of camp. It's like the antithesis of boredom. So that's why if something is boring, it's like
only boring people are boring.
Only Catherine. Boring people are boring. So if something is boring
or bored, only boring people are camp, bored.
Or you're supposed to
Betty
be
Draper.
Stylish, that's right. then you're failing. You're feeling hard.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like calling a drag queen boring would be like the ultimate insult.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I've called a couple drag queens boring in my time.
Well, then that's on them.
Yeah.
That is not on you, my friend. That is them for not stepping up, being boring. This is your
chance.
People go to like the Grammys. Yeah. They can dress crazy at the Grammys because it's the Grammys. You have to have some sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Protocols and things when you're going to, you know, the Oscars and things. But the Grammys, you can have fun and you can wear fucked up stuff. And there's people in jeans and there's people in gowns.
Yeah, like Meryl Streep will be at the Oscars, for instance. Oh, or like iconic people of stage and screen will be at the Oscars. But not at the Met Gala.
No.
Nope.
Not necessarily.
Not always.
Yeah.
But also it's a different situation because there's icons like Cher, like fucking brushing shoulders with the Hadids. Like, how dare you put Cher and the Hadids on the same fucking bit? I don't know. I feel very strongly. It's like, I don't know. The Met. The Met.
Well, that's some of it too. Like, that's an age thing too. Like, we were talking about it in another context upstairs, but kind of that ageism and the different generation things and how you reverence is viewed
the culture
very differently.
Clash that much is that must happen inside that
and
museum.
Do you have reverence for anything?
Yeah.
What do you choose to have reverence for? What do you deny reverence to? It's a very generational thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger you are, the less reverence you have for things. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty standard. And then as you get older, you realize reverence is important and has its place and things deserve and need to be revered in order to be preserved and passed on. But then also it's kind of the shitty upstart's job to stand next to Cher and give a middle finger to everybody. And then we can sit at home and eat our popcorn and complain.
Yeah.
And bitch about it on a podcast.
Which we do so well.
Which I know. That's really why y'all turn in.
Really?
Every 2 weeks-ish.
We'll figure it out.
So who do you think, or what, I'm trying to think of what looks or what like sort of famous things would we see in the exhibition itself? Like the Bjork dress is a great example.
There has to be some Schiaparelli stuff.
There's probably got to be some Yves Saint Laurent.
Yes. His whole thing of like his collections that were so like such a specific aesthetic, like all of the Mondrian dresses, all of the safari looks, you know, like they were a big middle finger and a big like thumb to nose about fashion back in the day, because he really was just like, he was the young upstart who was turning things around and doing shit that nobody else did in a way that was then eaten up immediately by everybody and they couldn't get enough of it. So I'm interested to see. And then Hedi Slimane came around and did like the opposite. But I'm interested to see what's going to be in the exhibition.
Like, I feel like there's got to be
some Prada stuff would be interesting.
Prada stuff. I feel like there'll probably be a Philip Tracy hat.
I was going to say a bunch of Philip Tracy hats. Who's the other guy? Steven, what's his face?
Oh, Steven.
He's also
Steven Jones.
Yes, he's also the millionaire who also does weird stuff. Mm-hmm. Who worked with Isabella Blow and stuff back in the day.
Is the hat maker for Dior? Oh, yes. Stephen Jones.
Yeah. But there has to be some McQueen stuff. There has to be Dior stuff. Mm-hmm. Specifically Galliano Dior.
Yep. What is Sarah Jessica Parker going to wear?
Vivienne Westwood and fall asleep.
You can bet your ass she'll have some kind of hat on.
Yeah, she'll have a unit up top for sure.
Yeah, a full-on unit.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. That unit she had for the China Through the Looking Glass was like that gigantic
that gold, like weird thing. Yeah, it was like a pagoda almost with like birds hanging off of it and stuff.
And fringe.
Yeah.
Like fringe pom-poms.
Weird. I can support her because she fucking commits, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to do.
I don't always agree with her choices, but I appreciate her enthusiasm.
The effort. Yes.
Sometimes, like, is she dressing as Sarah Jessica Parker going to the Met, or is she dressing as Sarah Jessica Parker playing Carrie Bradshaw going to the Met?
Will she ever be able to not do that?
Exactly.
I don't know. Probably not.
But I also feel like she has been, like, in these fashion circles for long enough.
Yes.
That she will
and
get
And she has a good
this.
Sense of humor about it, too.
She has a good sense of humor, always has... I feel like this show, she'll get it. Mm-hmm. She's pretty well read. Like her, I think she's, you know,
she's an educated, informed, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like you well said, read she's in been, fashion. I mean,
yes,
like
yes, she knows. In these circles.
Yeah. So I think she'll get it. I think she'll rise to the occasion. Like you say, I might not necessarily agree with it.
Sure. But I'm excited.
But I think she'll like do it the proper digging, you know.
I'm interested to see because so many people in the fashion industry.
Are they going to invite drag queens?
Oh, I sure hope so.
Prominent queens.
Oh, boy. Purse first, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Come into the room, purse first.
I fucking hope so.
But there's so many people, and this is what people shit on about the fashion industry, is that they take it way too seriously. And that cuts both ways, because sometimes you're like, you know, it's just fucking clothes. Mm-hmm. Why are you being so serious about it? And then also, this is one of the most interesting ways human beings can express themselves and their creativity and their personality. Mm-hmm. So, of course, just go for it.
Which is why this is such a great thing, because the people who...
It's a weird cross-section, like you said.
...are going to take it too seriously are going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Do you think Bella Hadid has a real, like, you know, knee slapper of, like, a good attitude? No, probably not.
And if she comes across as being that way, it's because she was probably...
Failed seriousness.
Yes. Which fits right in perfectly. There's sort of no way... To do it wrong this way.
That's exciting. Because people do it wrong all the time.
All the time.
Every year. So many people do it wrong.
Do you think
but there's,
are just
there's
just,
definitely a way to not be in on the joke.
Yes.
They're just going to do something quirky.
Yeah.
And that's just going to like...
There'll be like a color blocking thing.
Look, my purse is a beer can.
Yeah.
I was going to say, my purse is a banana.
Yeah.
Totally.
Same thing. My hat's a banana.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, that was one of the things I was mixing. Was I was looking up definitions of camp. It was like a conflation of low and high.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that originality is dead.
Yep.
And then an interesting example note that I thought of, which maybe not apply to the, well, we'll see how it applies to the Met Gala specifically, but the idea in menswear, this concept of sprezzatura.
What's that?
Whereas like you leave one of the buttons on your cuff undone on purpose to show a nonchalance and like an uncaring effortlessness about how you dress, but it is
totally
precise and contrived. And you absolutely chose which button for 10 minutes in front of the mirror to leave unbuttoned. So that perceived nonchalance, but it's also like totally on purpose, which I'm very excited to see what people can do with that. And the same thing, like, and that can also fit into the, are you doing it on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know you're doing it on purpose?
And there's definitely,
do you know you're not doing it on purpose?
There's definitely people, and she talks about this in the essay as well, there's definitely people who will... regardless of what they do, will fit in because they are people who get it.
Who just
fit. There are
fit.
People who are...
Yes.
Vincent Price is...
Sure.
Isn't it? Would be... Or...
Vincent Gallo. No.
No, not so much. John Waters.
Yes.
Absolutely could.
Yes.
Beth Ditto, absolutely. Yeah. Regardless of what she or they would show
Rue
up in.
Rue fucking Paul.
Rue Paul. Yeah.
RuPaul.
RuPaul.
You know what? RuPaul or drag RuPaul.
If he's not invited to the show, that's going to be
severe
a travesty.
Oversight.
Yes. Oversight.
On the part of
absolutely.
The folks at Vogue and the Met.
James St. James. Maybe James St. James will be invited.
Please.
That would be
all of the club
that
kids.
Would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, get
Lady Bunny.
Yes.
Lady Bunny in like a sequined
Versace.
Mini dress, like a Versace sequined mini dress with like the hugest fucking wig.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Like Elvira. A wig with a train. Exactly.
Elvira. Yeah. A wig with a train.
Yeah.
Bye, wig.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still thinking about that post Brian Safi made in his Instagram stories like a month ago where it was just a picture of a wig on the ground. I'll like run over and he just was, bye, wig. Never not thinking about that for the rest of my life. Oh, anyway.
Very interesting. It's the only time we'll tell. Mm-hmm. And we're like a week away.
I'm excited to see what Gaga will wear. Academy Award winner Lady Gaga.
I'm excited.
Yeah, what non-people are going to be there? Because there's definitely some non-people who are always invited that are like, what are you doing? Like a Johnny Depp or a Bradley Cooper. Yeah. What are you doing here? Who are they going to be, first of all, and what are they going to wear? Something dumb and boring.
I'm excited to see how the designers are going to interpret camp within their own aesthetics for the people that they dress.
Yes, because that's always an interesting...
Yeah, because like Donatella will show up with dynamic. J-Lo and blah, blah, blah.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it looks and it's perfectly on brand and it's awesome and it's great and everybody looks awesome.
Yeah.
For Versace.
Yeah.
Also, Donatella just herself is camp, but without... but she's not in on
but
the
job. But her clothes are not.
She's not in on it the same way like a John Waters is.
Yes.
But she's definitely camp.
Yes.
It's going to be really good. I'm actually... like the other previous seasons of the... or pardon me, previous...
years of
the gala. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's fine. Like, everything is interesting.
Yes.
Everything is, you know, you're going to see some amazing looks and some amazing couture and some amazing
interpretations.
Yeah. Some beautiful people. But this one is like, you get the right people.
Yes.
Baited hopefully they get the right people. And go a little bit nuts. There's sort of no rules.
Yeah.
And it's fun on purpose. Which is going to be fun, which does not happen in the fashion world right
now. No, especially at this level.
Yeah. I feel like Bill Cunningham would really have enjoyed this one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 100%.
Not that he didn't enjoy any other ones, but
he also enjoyed the super serious ones. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Fashion.
If you haven't, I'm going to say it again. Go and read this essay, even just to see what an academic. This is one of her first 50 years ago. This was her first like big publication. It sort of got her known. Yeah. Just have a read of what academia can look like because it is a bit hilarious,
intense.
And if you are under the age of 25. See if you know
Google some people.
Any of the people on this list.
You might have to do some Googling.
I knew a few, for sure. I knew fewer than were on this list. I'd heard a lot of the names.
Sure, but not
tell
enough
you
to
what they all were.
Yeah.
See how many you recognize because it's a pretty hilarious thing to read, just sort of objectively. Like, oh.
And then keep it in mind.
Maybe definitely read the essay before.
It is.
Yeah, because it'll be a good one. It'll be a
really glued to our screens and refreshing. So
hashtag MetGala 2019.
Alrighty, I think we've wrapped it up enough. And also, I need to take a break. So,
well, let's do that.
Let's do that,
and then let's come back,
and we'll come right back.
Okay, bye.
And we're back. There we go. I had to actually press the record button there for a sec.
We're blue pin and blower pin.
Just a little test. See if y'all are paying attention. I'm mostly Evan and Katie are paying attention. You can't tell. People at home can't tell.
All you need to know is that things are happening, you
guys.
Yes,
and the record button has been pressed.
You can hear us now, and
I hope
you could not.
I sure hope you can.
It's time to obsess. We're here to obsess.
We all obsess about homecoming in the intro.
So yeah.
So we got so that out of the way.
What's going on with you, Evan?
Our actual obsessions this
week. Yeah, so this past weekend, that's why I didn't get much into what I was up to lately, because this Easter weekend, if you were going to call it that, I was involved in this amazing symposium here in Vancouver called Together Apart, Queer Indigeneities at Grunt Gallery. I was called on to participate in a roundtable discussion about our intentions. So intentions behind our work, intentions for what our work means to us, our community, our intentions about our role in community, all of these kinds of things. And it was really exciting to be a part of a conversation with mostly artists who operate within the greater art world, and then also academics and just thinkers, and it was all queer Indigenous folks from across Turtle Island. So there was some folks mostly from Vancouver, the Vancouver area, the Coast Salish territories, but also there were some folks from what is known as the U.S. and Mexico and all across Canada. And the whole point, the whole kind of ethos of this event started when one of the curators, Wes Harmon, looked through the Grunt Gallery archives, since we're talking about the art world and everything. This is very apropos. Wes looked through the archives and came upon all of this footage of this event that Grunt Gallery curated or held or created space for 26 years ago, called the Two-Spirit Cabaret, and wanted to confront why there was 26 years between that event happening and this one, and what has changed, what has stayed the same, like basically just kind of bringing the dialogue that was surrounding that event into now and seeing where we are 26 years down the road. And it was a very generative, it was a very leveling kind of event. It was great to be in community with these folks and see where everyone was at, what everyone needs, how we can be more supportive of one another. But it's also been great to see where we are and where we need to improve and where we can move forward. So thank you to Wes Harmon and Kaylee Spitzer and all the folks at Grunt, and then all of the other artists involved. I can just give you a quick rundown here. Lacey Burning, Demian Deneyage, Edziu, the curator Wes Harmon, Riley Kuchern, who was the moderator of the panel that I was on. Riley, we've spoken about him before. He's a PhD candidate with Ryerson University, and he's going to be the first person to get a PhD in Indigenous fashion.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it was great to be in conversation with Riley. Mm-hmm. Lindsay Nixon did the keynote address, which was absolutely groundbreaking, earth-shattering, just feeling seen and feeling educated and feeling brought in
and surrounded
all
by
at once. Letitia Rico, Anne Riley, Fabian Romero, Kaylee Spitzer, the co-curator, Stormy Weber, Cease Weiss, and special guest Afua. Afua actually interviewed me for an article that's going to come out in May, I believe, in the Capilano Review. So also look out for that.
Oh, we'll link to that when it comes out.
So is this like a lecture series, or was it a gallery show?
Yeah,
like,
so it was in conjunction. Kaylee had an exhibition up of tintype photographs that she took of different people in community, basically reflecting that colonial gaze of the classic tintype photo, or the way that white anthropologists use photography as a way of homogenizing Indigenous peoples and retaking that space and giving people the opportunity to have themselves represented the way they want to be represented.
There's an agency in the,
And then all of these images also were accompanied by a voice recording of the subject of the photo. So you could hear the person's voice and get a sense of them.
Oh, wow.
And then also look at the image, which was really good. And then there was a series of artists in discussion together, poetry readings, the roundtable that I was on. There was a nature walk throughout Vancouver with Cease Weiss about just connecting to other than human relations inside like a rural or an urban setting, and just like learning more about the host nations and the plants and medicines and all the things that are.
I've heard about these here. Tours. They look cool.
And then there was a punk show on Saturday night, which was really fun. So it was all Indigenous punk and experimental music, and that was really fun. And yeah, it was great. It was great to be included in something like that, and it was great that Wes and Kaylee and the people at Grunt created space for people who were not from the art world, who are not from the academy, who didn't have a post-secondary education like me, someone who comes from an industry that often is looked down upon
or just
by the art world, or not
just
included
forgotten
at all.
Entirely, yeah.
So,
well, to be fair, you do have a post-secondary education. It's just not the
it's
not a four-year degree.
It's not the 4-year degree that academia loves to tout.
Exactly.
Just invent some letters and put them on the end of your name.
ESQ is nice. It sounds real nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Esquire.
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 No,
hopefully one day.
Badass bitch.
Yeah.
Put that on the end.
B-O-S-S.
T-H-T-B-T-C-H.
Yes, there you go.
That bitch.
Yes.
What about CEO? That's a nice one, too.
That's a nice one.
H-B-I-C.
H-B-I-C.
Hell's head bitch in short.
Yeah, that's already kind of true, I suppose. I said a really funny thing during my talk, because I kept saying, we do this, we do that. I was like, okay, I was like, I should be blunt. Like, there is no we. Like, I'm used to, like, I was like, there's this thing in fashion about perceived value. So speaking in a we in terms of my brand
gives
this,
you legitimacy.
It gives us legitimacy.
Yes.
But I'm going to be straight up in the fact that there's me, the pattern drafter, me, the cutter, me, the sketcher, me, the
sewer,
shipping
the
and
fitter.
Receiving,
yeah.
Me, the client specialist,
yes.
Me, the
executive assistant,
yeah.
customer service.
The human resources, me, customer service. I do everything. So I think, like, when I explain that to a room of people from the art world, I think that, like, there's something about my practice where it sits in between art and commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And those things cannot be removed. And I even found myself sitting there in this room and using terms that are capitalistic terms, like advertising and marketing and
customer
mm-hmm. and client and all and collection and releasing and like all of these things that
these
most
jargon,
of the people in this
yeah.
room have no frame of reference for because they're not in the fashion industry.
Not, yeah.
But it was really interesting because obviously I've been interviewed about my work before and I've spoken publicly about my work before, but never within that setting. And that was really
you're always talking to fashion people.
I'm always talking to fashion. Yeah, talking to you fools. Talking like
journalists, bloggers.
Yeah. But
friends.
But it was really nice to be brought into that space and be validated in that way as an artist because even in the like I haven't. Referred to myself as an artist ever except like the last couple of years when other artists have referred to me as an artist.
Right.
You know, people mm-hmm. I would call an artist would be like, oh, you are an art, like
nice.
Your practice, your art, whatever. Like, yes. Like using that kind of terminology has been nice. And maybe if people say it enough, I'll actually believe them.
Hey, there you go. Absolutely. Just repeat it 10,000 times.
Exactly.
We'll get there.
Yeah. But many thanks to Grunt and Wes Harmon and Kaylee Spitzer and all those folks and all of the wonderful people I got to meet and all of the
beautiful
the conversation and thoughts and what's going to be produced and what kind of planning needs to be done to get there. It's very exciting.
Cool.
Yes. What about you, Abs?
My obsession. Different vibe than Evans.
That's very on brand for us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Completely non sequitur. I believe I've shared his videos with you before. This has been a longstanding obsession of mine. It's so weird how you think of like, sometimes there's weeks where I'm like, oh, fuck, what's my obsession going to think about? What have I been thinking about? And then sometimes you're like, oh, no, I've been following this person for years. Like, consistently. And the person I'm talking about is Brett Mann Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That dude, he lives in Hawaii. He is gay as the hills. He's so, he's literally like an Instagram star. That's like his deal. He's a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
He has like makeup palettes with like legitimate companies who like, he's an amazing makeup artist. He does his own makeup. So he's beautiful. And he's got such a huge personality. And he throws around the word bitch a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my all-time favorite videos of him, you have to follow him on Instagram. And his like little niece, his niece is like three and she makes appearances and his sister and his mom. But my favorite one of all time, he lives in this big house in Hawaii somewhere. And he has a stripper pole in his like foyer,
mm-hmm.
in the entryway of his house.
As you do.
And he has on these huge, like literally like 10-inch heels, like huge platforms. And he's fucking fit. Like, he can really give it on, like,
mm-hmm.
he can really put on a show on the pole.
Mm-hmm.
For that. But he's, like, he, like, sashays over to the camera and then sashays back and starts doing these moves. And then all of a sudden, his little mom appears with the broom and is just, like, sweeping up behind him. And then he just sees her. He's, like, in the middle of some giant, like, flippy move. And he sees her and he just drops and he walks towards the camera doing the biggest eye roll. And it's so funny. And he, like, it's a persona. but also it's just him.
We're unsure, yeah.
It's for sure just him. Just an amplified. Arguably, is it 10% amplified?
I mean, it is, right. It is him,
or is it 90% amplified? And he's just super chill. I doubt that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He is so sweet, and he loves his mom, and he loves his niece and his sister, and like he's always just going to like the gym and like doing his makeup and like just feeling himself. I don't know if I've ever known a person who feels themselves more than Bretman Rock does.
That is a curated internet persona.
Yes, it is very darling. Entertaining to watch, and it makes me feel good, and I love him, and his name's Bretman Rock, and he's the weirdest and the best.
So fun.
I love him so much.
Send us a palette, Bretman.
Fan of the show, Sheila. Aunt Sheila. We send each other Bretman Rock videos, I don't know, every day. And we both follow him, so we're seeing it, yeah. And then also sending it to each other, because it's the best. He does, like, unboxing videos of shitty orders from, like, Amazon.
Yeah.
He has this whole ongoing thing about trying to eradicate plastic straws from his life, except he keeps forgetting to bring his straws, and then he keeps the fucking up and getting a straw, and then, like, apologizing. For, like, sorry, guys, I fucked up. I know I use a plastic straw. And oh, my God, it's very entertaining. So that's my obsession.
It's a good one. I like it. I like it a lot.
And you, m'lady?
Mine is a good old podcast. I just started listening to, I've only listened to a few episodes, but, like, back to back to back, of this podcast called Ologies with Ali Ward. And so Ali Ward.
It's like, I know Ali Ward.
Yeah, she was on a cooking or like cocktails and cupcakes kind of show on Food Network a while ago, a few years ago. And then she was on like a science show. Like, I don't really know what her life is beyond
outside of these.
What is her metier?
Yeah. She's like, she has a background in science. She's also super beautiful and super funny and just the kind of person that you want to be friends with, because she's really smart, but like, just
she's
so
also
cool.
Friends with Georgia Hardstark, isn't she?
Yeah, she's friends with Georgia Hardstark. They had a podcast together for a while too, called Food or Party or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why I know her.
Yeah.
Something about food and drinks or something. Yeah. I forget what it was. Anyway,
she, as a science loving lady, has this podcast called Ologies. And it is basically all the ologies you can think of.
Scorpiology, victimology.
And she
etymology
goes into all of them. So the first one,
I'm subscribing right now.
It's really good. They're only like maybe an hour and a bit long.
Yeah, looks like it.
Fantastic. She's just so delightful. She's talking to someone who's like has some real sciencey shit that they're saying, she'll be like, okay, hold on, and she'll like go in after this interview, obviously,
sure, and
like insert and be like, okay, so I did a whole bunch of research on this thing, and here's what this actually means. And then okay, let's go back. It's so good. So the first one I listened to, hilariously, was Hagfishology, which is a thing.
Hagfish are fucked up.
Hagfish are fucked up. They're
the slimy ones?
So cool. They're super slimy.
Yeah, they're the weird slimy ones, aren't they?
It felt very on brand. It was super interesting. She's also like genuinely interested in the things that she's talking to these people about. So she
fantastic.
Like really draws you in and makes you feel smart for having participated in this conversation.
That's nice, because I don't always feel that way about things.
Totally.
They don't always make me feel good about my intellect sometimes.
There's so many good ones. There's like linguistics, dogs, butterflies, hair, trees. I listen to one about snow and avalanches. Hagfish, obviously. I listen to the victimology one. Fear, x-ray vision, Darwinism, like any ology.
Specific scientific study of a subject.
Yeah, she'll find an expert and do a delightful interview.
Interesting.
It's really good. It's
very
just
cool.
Like time to learn a little bit and also like, I feel like you're having a good conversation with someone.
Be entertained.
Yeah, and then you have a weird fact about a hagfish that you didn't know you needed, and then comes...
You can whip it out at a party.
At a party.
No, don't. Like, don't whip out your hagfish at a party.
Don't whip out your hagfish at a party.
unless it's that sort of party and everyone's cool with it, but
just
don't assume.
Facts. Yeah. Make sure those
don't assume everybody's okay with you whipping out your hagfish at a party. You're slapping hagfish. Sorry!
I'm sorry! I thought it was that kind of party. I didn't know. Anyway, you guys, it's just really good. I don't have much else to say about it beyond.
Sweet, that's you
give
got
it a
me.
Shot.
You
so
got
good.
Me.
Sexology, toothology, which is squids, mythology, gizmology, which is robots.
Interesting.
Museology, which is the study of museums. Zymology, which is beer. Gynecology, which is nether health, as she refers to
it. Nether health. Nice.
Anyway, it is good.
Fantastic.
I'm on board. And very there's cool. a shitload of episodes, so there's lots you can get to.
Cool.
Yeah, that's me. Spending my time on my bike with a podcast.
Learning some shit.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nice.
You guys, we did it.
Woo! We've got good time.
Another one in the can.
Yeah, we're doing all right.
Doing all right.
Awesome. Well, thanks for turning us on and downloading us.
And sticking around.
Sticking around.
You can find us where the things are found on Instagram,
on the interwebs.
Mm-hmm. FashionEggsPodcast.com.
We're the only Fashion Eggs out there, so it's fine.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We've been sure of it.
Often imitated, never reproduced.
We've taken out all the other pretenders. It's fine.
Looking at you, Vogue Podcast.
Vogue wishes we had. They have what we have.
I wish.
You guys are the best. Yes. Thanks, and rate, interview, and subscribe, and all those things, because it really does help things on our end.
Yes, please.
And also know that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Nailed it.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey.